Right, you can be turning to Exodus chapter 3. We will get there in a little while. We're not quite ready for that yet. Obviously, we're aware that this is Memorial Day weekend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Memorial Day weekend for many. For many, if not most, it's a time for to be off work, and a time for picnics, and a time of relaxation, and that's all fine and good. But so far, much more than that.
Yeah.
It's again almost nice, but I wonder how many really have no clue about the reason that we hold this week. Or they simply forgot it.
Yeah.
Which is a contradiction of the very term memorial. The word memorial means to hold something in remembrance. To mark something or someone that is to be remembered and not forgotten. Obviously, if we hold something as a national Memorial Day, it should be held in some measure of importance. Now, we understand, hopefully, we here understand that Memorial Day is set aside to remember those great men and women who made the ultimate sacrifice on our and our country's behalf. We remember those that died to provide and to protect our freedom. We joke about jarheads, grunts, fly boys, and even I've been known to have a joke or two about an Aggie. I read this. There was a major assigned to a new post. While he worked, he was working to set up his office, and a private knocked at the door, and that was going on, the major quickly he picked up his phone and motioned for the private to enter into the room. On the phone, or holding the phone, the major said, "Yes, General, I think that's an excellent idea." "No, sir, that's fine. You feel free to call me anytime. I'm glad I can help." "Yes, sir. And you give my best to your family, too." "Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Good day to you, too, General." And as the major was hanging up the phone, he looked over at the private and asked,
"What can I do for you, Private?" Private was hesitant, and he finally said, "Sir, I'm here to hook up the phone." Oh, with the kidding aside, every one of the men and women of our military are greatly appreciated. We have some National Guard and parents of military here in this service today. We appreciate them. Memorial Day has also been called through the years Decoration Day, and for good reason. It was part of the original intent of General Order 11 issued in Washington, D.C. Once in a while, something good comes out of Washington, D.C. Issued in Washington, D.C., May 5th, 1868, by General John A. Logan. In part, it says this. The first line says, "The 30th day of May, 1868, is designated for the purpose of strewing with flowers or otherwise decorating the graves of comrades who died in defense of their country during..." Forgive me, these are his words. "If during the late rebellion, and whose bodies now lie in almost every city, village, and hamlet churchyard in the land. So indeed, it was a day to decorate, remember, memorialize. And though we understand this is not a spiritual or a biblical holiday, but it's still a good thing for us to remember what many gave so that you and I can freely meet here today to worship our God as we see fit. It's not a global freedom, beloved. That is not a global freedom and should not be taken for granted. There are many on this earth that do not enjoy what we are enjoying right now. As Christians, we should especially appreciate the men and women of our military who protect our liberty to worship. Listen to this. I came across these statistics. In the top 50 World Watch List countries alone, just in the top 50, 260 million Christians in the world experience high levels of persecution for their choice to follow Christ. Listen to this. This number surprised me. 1 in 9. Did you hear that? 1 in 9 Christians worldwide experience high levels of persecution. From just being persecuted in the sense of church properties and so forth being vandalized and all that or plowed over in some parts of the world, to putting their very lives at risk to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. Beloved, we're free here in this nation still. And we acknowledge the problems and ills of our nation. This isn't the time for that at this moment. But we still enjoy the privileges that many on this earth planet do not have. In fact, I don't know of another country on this earth planet I would want to spend the rest of my life in. There's always been a special respect in my family for those who serve in the military. I remember as a boy, my father telling me, sharing with us kids, he was in the Army Air Corps. That's the precursor to the Air Force. He was in the Army Air Corps during World War II. And I remember him telling us how people respected soldiers in those days. He was stationed for a time in San Rafael, California, and my mother was there with him. They had an apartment off base. And my dad would leave in the morning and go down with his uniform on, of course, on his way to the post. And he'd walk out to the street. He said, the very first car that would come by would stop and offer him a ride to the post. My father continued that respect, and he fostered that same respect in his children. And I've tried to do the same with our children. The U.S. flag is a memorial in and of itself. I fully acknowledge our ills, as I said a moment ago, but I am still, without apology, a flag-waving American. Amen. You can take it or leave it. The world might not like it. I don't really care. The memorial of the flag causes me to remember the price that was paid so that we could sit here today and have that flag on this platform. We attended a funeral this week in the coffin of a dear friend of ours in the Hudsons was draped with an American flag. Both Marsh's and my father's coffins were draped with that same American flag. And so, yes, indeed, We're grateful. We're grateful for those who paid the ultimate price for our freedom. As we said, the purpose of a memorial is to cause us to remember. that cause us to not forget some things. Well, there are indeed some important biblical memorials that I'd like us just to consider for a few minutes today. And watch out when a preacher says a few minutes. In Exodus chapter 3, we see that our God's name is to be an eternal memorial. In Exodus chapter 3, we see Moses at that burning bush that was not consumed. And as God is dealing with him, God in verse 14 says, "And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. And God said moreover unto Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob has sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations." Amen. Amen. I am that I am. He says, the Lord God, Jehovah Elohim, is those words. Beloved, the I am, the Lord God, called on Moses to return to Egypt and to lead his people out of bondage there to a land that he had promised so many hundreds of years earlier to Abraham. God told Moses, we just read, "This is my name, I am. This is my name forever. And this is my memorial unto all generations." God's name, I am. It's interesting. I shared this with my Sunday school class earlier. It's interesting that Strong's Bible Dictionary says that the Hebrew word we translate Jehovah came from the Hebrew word for I am. And that makes sense. The very name I am speaks of the present tense God that we serve. And the name Jehovah means the ever-existing one. God's Word. Beloved, Moses was a picture. Moses was a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And also, Egypt is a picture of the world in the Bible. The I Am of the Old Testament sent Moses back to Egypt to deliver his people. God the Father sent the I Am of the New Testament to the world to deliver his people. Jehovah. Jesus. Jehovah's salvation. Do you understand? That's what the name means. Jesus or Jehovah's salvation. Remember, God said that I am is his name forever. 7 times in the Gospel of John, the Lord Jesus Christ makes that link between the Old Testament I am and himself. He declared in John chapter 6, verse 35, I am the bread of life. In John chapter 8, verse 12, he says, I am the light of the world. In John chapter 10, verses 7 and 9, he says, I am the door of the sheep. In John chapter 10, verses 11 and verse 14, he declares, I am the good shepherd. And in John chapter 11, verse 25, he declares, I am the resurrection and the life. John 14, 6, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And finally, in John chapter 15, verses 1 and 5, he said, I am the true vine.
Yes, sir.
Without him, without that true vine, we can do nothing. All that, beloved, to remember, all that to understand and remember this. The Lord Jesus Christ is the I Am of the Bible, Old and New Testament. And His name is to be an eternal memorial to us. His is the name that is above every name. His is the name by which we are saved. Luke wrote in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, the familiar words, where we read there in Acts chapter 4, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. One name. That eternal, everlasting name. Beloved, Jesus' name. His name is to be an eternal memorial to us. We're not to forget. We are not to forget. And then secondly, you can look over to Joshua chapter 4. Joshua, one of my favorite characters in the Old Testament. Joshua chapter 4, we see the works of our God. The works of our God. In Joshua chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, says this, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye this by these stones? Then ye shall answer them, that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord when it passed over Jordan. The waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. Forever. Now, as we read here, God had just done another amazing thing for the children of Israel. He had parted the Jordan River as He had parted the Red Sea 40 years earlier. He parted the Red Sea so that the children of Israel could escape Pharaoh coming out of Egypt. What was Egypt a type of? The world. So that the children of Israel could escape Pharaoh coming out of Egypt. And now He parts the Jordan River for the children of Israel to cross into the promised land on dry ground. God instructed Joshua to have a man from each of the 12 tribes to go down into that dry riverbed and select a stone. To select a stone seemed kind of strange. To bring it up out of the riverbed and into that place where they were making their camp. There, Joshua took those stones and he erected a memorial out of them. Now, it was no more than a pile of rocks. But whenever anyone passed by that place, that simple stone memorial was to remind them of what God had done for them on that day. Now, with that, somewhere it would have been between the city of Jericho and the Jordan River. Because when they crossed over the Jordan, what stood up there before them? On the great city of Jericho. So it's somewhere, it originally was somewhere along the Jordan in that area. We don't know where. But as anyone might be passing that way, is that would be a pretty popular thoroughfare throughout the history. And whenever they passed that way, they'd see that pile of rocks, that stone memorial. And again, they would remember what took place there, where God had parted the Jordan River for the children of Israel to pass over into Canaan. But along with that, you could not escape, you couldn't forget all that went on before that. The 40 years they'd spent in the wilderness and Jehovah God feeding them all along the way and leading and directing them by that pillar of fire by night and the cloud by day. And how He had indeed delivered them through the Red Sea with Pharaoh and his armies bearing down on them. And as you remember that, you couldn't forget what God had done in Egypt to bring them out. Huh? That stone memorial there on the shore of Jordan. Remember, it reminded them of a lot. God's deliverance for them. Now, I don't know if you'd agree with this or not. That's okay. But when I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, it puts me in remembrance of all that God has done for me. Huh? Calvary. Calvary's not been preserved there outside the city of Jerusalem. There's debates on just where that is and all that. But beloved, there's a memorial in my heart of Calvary and what Jesus did there to pay the price of my sin. Amen. To pay the price of your sin. Someone that enjoys the benefits. Huh? Are we benefited by the cross? I mean, that horrible, ugly, hideous thing. That cross upon which our Savior died. Huh? Do we not enjoy the benefits of what He did there? Yes, sir. The cross will be an eternal memorial for me. And for my soul. But then thirdly, please turn to the New Testament, the Gospel of Matthew. Gospel of Matthew chapter 26. One more memorial to look at. Look at a lady here, but I want us to understand that God will never forget your service for Him. That done for the glory of your God. We read an instance, an event here in Matthew 26. It comes towards the end of our Lord's earthly ministry and life. We break into the passage here in verse 6. And it says there, "Now when Jesus was in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto Him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment, and poured it on His head as He sat at meat. When His disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, 'To what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor.' When Jesus understood it, He said unto them, 'Why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. For ye have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Verily, or truly, I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this, that this woman hath done, be told for a memorial of her. Wow. Wow. The verses 3 to 5 tell us at this very time, and notice what it says here in verse 3. Then assembled together the chief priests and the scribes and the elders of the people under the palace of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas. And they consulted that they might take Jesus by subtlety and kill him. Huh? While the Jewish leadership were plotting how they might get rid of Jesus, how they might put him to death, this act, this precious act of this woman takes place. This dear woman does a beautiful sacrificial service for the Lord Jesus Christ. It's obvious. It's obvious that she was far more aware of what was going on than even his own disciples were. Verse 2. They were upset over what was going on. They were upset. As we read, why did she do this thing? She was anointing his body, as we read, for his burial. He's not dead yet, obviously. Wow. God had let this dear woman in on what he was doing. Oh, sure, the Jewish leaders were plotting, but God had laid out his plan in eternity past for these very events. She was anointing his body for burial. She performed this beautiful service for her Savior, who would soon die, who would soon lay down his life, provide our sacrifice, die for mankind. The act of the woman, but we see the pronouncement of the Lord here. Powerful. The Lord Jesus Christ, in verse 13, he declares that whenever the gospel is preached, meaning whenever, wherever, his death, his burial, and resurrection was proclaimed, what this woman did for him was to be told. We're talking about it now. 2,000 years later. Remember this, beloved. Hold on to this. Pay no attention when the devil causes you to think that your labor for the Lord is unimportant or that it goes unnoticed. Give no heed to the disparaging words of others. What you do for the glory of God is recorded in the divine record books of glory. And that's the important thing. Mark chapter 9, verse 41 says this. For whosoever shall give you a cup of water in my name, because you belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. What? Those that simply would give a cup of water in the name of Jesus will receive eternal reward? Jesus says so. I believe him. Please. Please consider that. Think about what can the world offer that compares? What does the world have to offer you that compares with the reward of the Lord of glory? All earthly achievements Everything that might be accomplished in the strength of the flesh will one day pale into insignificance in comparison to the reward of our God for those who served Him. What would you trade of this world? What would you trade of this world for the words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant"? Nothing this world has to offer can compare with the God of glory. It's commendation for His servants. Memorials. Memorials are what? They're to remind us of something. To remind us of something. Beloved, it's not just a long weekend. Forgive me. The vice president of our country wished us all a nice long weekend. Where's she from? Tomorrow we remember the men and women who died in the service of our country. Beloved, I urge you, next time, every time you have opportunity, express your gratitude to our service men and women. On Tuesday we were at that funeral, and we was out at the cemetery, the pavilion, and we got in there, and I looked over, and there was the honor guard. They were Navy seamen, and they had their dress white uniforms on, and I just had to try to get over as close as I could. Said a couple things to them, and I just wanted to say thank you. Thank young guys, you know, just so young. Thank you for serving your country. It's a good thing. Please do the same. But far, far greater. Far greater than any of that. We are, and will be reminded for all eternity of who the great I Am is. All eternity. Aren't you? The day will come when the trump is going to sound. I mean, I don't know why. I think about that passage that Paul wrote to the Thessalonican church. And I mean, it just gets me all excited inside and a little bit outside. The trump's going to sound. The voice of the archangel will sound for it. And yes, the dead in Christ shall rise first. But we which alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet them in the air, and so shall we ever be. And for all of eternity. Who is it that the dead in Christ and those that are alive and remain are going to meet? They're going to meet the Lord in the air. And for all of eternity, we'll have the privilege and the honor to serve and to worship the great I Am. Hey, in every opportunity I get, I will gladly declare Him as Lord and God of all. The great I Am. A memorial for all of eternity. Wow. And then there's those that have given themselves, their lives, for His service. Brother Bruce shared something. I'm going to be very, very careful what I say here. Brother Bruce shared something that's going on in Cuba. And all I'm going to say is this. Talk to him on the side. Pray for Cuba. Pray for Cuba and Christians in Cuba. It's very important. Is there servants of Christ on this earth planet that have, they have stepped up and they are willing to pay the ultimate price for their worship of the Lord Jesus Christ, for their service to Him. Regardless of who may disparage them, regardless of what government or leader or other religion may persecute them. Those that are suffering daily in places like North Korea and China. North Korea, by the way, is the number one, top of the list, persecutor of Christians. For years, they've held that place. We're so privileged. No servants of Christ, their labor, beloved, will not be forgotten. And beloved, nor will yours.
Amen.
Nor will yours. Serve Christ. Serve Christ. Are you in His service? Question simple. What are you doing for Christ? What are you doing to further His cause? The gospel. He came into this world to save sinners. What are you and I doing to get sinners to glory? That's the question. And that's what should consume us. The message of the gospel is a message of love. Sometimes we forget that. The message of the gospel is a message of love. The words of Romans chapter 5, verse 8 are beautiful and a tremendous word of remembrance. I love those words. You know them. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. But God, two of my favorite words in the Bible, wherever you find it, He's stepping in doing something. But God commendeth His love toward us. What was that expression of His love? He commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners,
amen,
Christ died for us. The gospel is a message of love.
Amen.
I wonder if we delivered that message with more often with tears in our eyes, that we might be more effective than we are screaming and yelling at people for their wickedness and sin. I've shared this with you. You know, we have these pens that just says Metropolitan Baptist Church and the address or the phone number and stuff on it. I had a preacher friend one time. He came up to me. He was so excited. He had ordered 1,000 pens. He pulled one out to give me one. And he says, I give these to people all over the place. And I looked at it and read it. And I thought, I said, that's true, brother. It said, turn or burn. That's true, right? Repent and receive the Lord Jesus Christ or you're going to spend eternity in hell. That's true. But telling someone about the love of Christ from a heart that's breaking for the condition of their soul, breaking to such an extent that the tears may be coming. For precious souls, I wonder how we might be a little more effective. The gospel's a message of love. And would we remember it as a message of love? The cross might be our memorial for all eternity. Beloved, if you're here today and you don't have that confidence, you don't have that peace, that assurance that you know where you are going to spend eternity, we're here to help you. We're here to point you to Jesus. We love you. And if you need Christ today, you come. We're going to sing a song of invitation. Please come during that invitation song, and we'll do our best to point you to Jesus, to the one who died for you. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you. Thank you for Jesus today. Thank you for His love, His mercy. Thank you, Lord, that you so loved this world to give your, that you gave your only begotten Son, that whosoever, that even a sinner like Jim Turner, believe in you, not perish, but have everlasting life. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for Jesus, the great I am. Lord, please work in hearts and lives. Whatever the need might be in the heart of any believer, any Christian here today, in the heart of anyone that still needs Jesus Christ. Lord, please, please work. Have your will, have your way. And we will be quick to give you all the glory, all the honor, all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you please stand as we sing? The altars are open. Please just obey the Lord. Whatever He'd have you to do, please obey Him. Brother John.
Page 157. I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus,
looking back there, I didn't see Brother John. He was helping the children's church this morning. And did you just come in? Did you? Oh, you were back there?
I sat in the last seat.
You were hiding back there. I didn't see you. Okay. You see how you get so used to seeing people in the same seats all the time? I'm looking at his. He wasn't there. We're going to eat.
Amen.
Who hates brisket? I didn't hear a single person say, oh, I hate it. Huh? Well, if you want, are you planning to eat somewhere today? You might as well eat here.
Amen.
I guarantee that those ladies back there have plenty for you to eat. And our men smoked those biscuits this last week, and I'll patiently wait my turn. So please save me something. Amen. And visitors, please, we would love to have you join us for our meal. It's just a blessing to have you with us. And so please, don't run off. Eat. We're going to have an afternoon service. We're acknowledging our graduates today. Haley Davison graduated from high school. Alexis Kavler graduated, was it TCC? or Tarleton, and also Ethan Wellborn graduated from Tarleton. So amen. We're thrilled with those ones, and we rejoice and celebrate with them. Amen. Brother John, what's your job?
Eat. Oh, and pray.
What do you say, Brother John?
What's the right order there? Okay, we're going to sing, then we'll pray, then we'll eat. We'll sing our chorus, He Lives on High. He lives on high, He lives on high, triumphant over sin and all its stain. He lives on high, He lives on high, someday He's coming again. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your love and Your blessings. We thank You for Your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, thank You for the sacrifice that He made on the cross and the salvation that He's provided. Lord, I pray that You'll help us to live our lives each and every day with that in our remembrance, that we can keep You in our forethoughts every day, knowing the sacrifice You've made, and so that we can tell others about You. Please bless the afternoon and the food and the fellowship and the service afterwards, Lord, and just pray that Your perfect will be done. For it's in Jesus' name we ask. Amen.